All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. How are you guys enjoying Tech Ed so far? Everyone liking it?
Awesome.
Awesome, great, excellent. What on earth are you guys doing here at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday? I'd be in the French Quarter myself. What was that?
You're not.
I didn't have a choice. All right, there we go. All right, so. Welcome to Microsoft SQL Server Database Development with SQL Server Data Tools for Visual Studio 2012. Officially the longest title I've ever had in a presentation in my entire life. So as you can see with that, we've actually got three different things going on. We've got SQL Server, we've got the data tools, and then we've got Visual Studio 2012. Trying to get them to all work and do what you think it's going to do when you click the button. Sometimes it even gets me tripped up. So I've got some demos that I scripted out. And when I say scripted out, I mean like I stepped through them and it's 7 pages of notes on how to show you guys everything. So I've done a lot of research. By research, I mean I've messed up quite a few times and found the right way to do it. And so hopefully you guys will be able to take that knowledge and be able to run faster for having seen it here. Let's check what was it. All right. So my name is Aaron Nelson, in case I didn't mention that. If you didn't want to see data tools, you should probably get out. And my email address, I don't think it's in the slide deck, is it's my first name at sqlvariant.com, aaron@sqlvariant.com, and it's probably listed on the profile there on the TechEd website. So if you have questions afterwards, you run into one of the snags and you need help, shoot me an email, glad to help out. One thing I do need to tell you guys, in trying to get as much content in here as possible for certain sections, I did have to cut the database unit testing out. So if you're here for just that, then sorry. I will record some later and comment on the session in the on the website so that you get a link to it. But unfortunately, previously, when I had done this session, I got so many great questions from the audience, and I wanted to include it, that it caused me to have to cut something. How many of you are already using SSDT, either 2010 or 2012? All right, so I'd say maybe a third or so-ish. All right, everyone in here is using SQL Server, right? Yeah? Okay. So what we're going to talk about today is database comparisons, the snapshots, local DB, publishing, and refactoring. All right. And when I call out with the light in my eye, if you're raising your hand, I might not be able to see, so you might need to like wiggle your hand. So, all right. So we'll see. Schema comparisons, after we take them, some of the things that we're able to do with our project, we can take snapshots of the project, which I'll show you is kind of like a poor man's way of doing version control. We can refactor the database, meaning change a column name, but make sure that it flows through to everything that it needs to. Detect database drift. How many of you are familiar with the term database drift? Just a handful. All right, so just to clarify, it doesn't mean putting a database in the back of a car and going out and drifting. It means when you put a release of a database out into production and then magically somehow maybe some other tables appear, some indexes appear, a couple views, store procedures, a table with a table name that is exactly like the other table except underscore and a date. Anyone ever had that happen to them? apparently no one. All right. So that's what drift detection is, and we'll go through that today. And they've got a great, very cool feature of it. And publish. Publish is synonymous with deploy. I actually have several times been literally clicking on the publish button during a demo and calling it deploy because I'm just used to that from the, you know, SSAS world and all that. So if I slip up, that's what I really meant. And all right, that was it. The rest of this is going to be demos, so I hope you like demos. All right, quick question. How many people have SQL Server 2012 installed? Wow, that's a good number. All right, for those of you that don't have 2012 installed, do you at least have SSMS 2012 installed? Couple, not very many. I'd recommend going ahead and doing it. That way, you know, it works with the 2005, 2008 databases. I don't have any 2000 databases, so I couldn't tell you. But I would recommend going ahead and installing the SSMS 2012 if you haven't already. And it works pretty well side by side with SSMS 2008 and 2008 R2, and they don't collide. So. Let me go, actually, I need to start over here. So we're gonna start where, I've been working with databases for almost 15 years now. I pretty much live in Management Studio. I need three applications on any machine I work on. Management Studio, Outlook, and Excel. And I pretty much spend all my day in between those three. Now I'm starting to get into using a lot more of the Visual Studio, and one day I guess it'll all be a single Visual Studio, but we're not there yet. But we can see that they're making good progress, so that's the good news. So we're gonna start, we're gonna do basically crawl, walk, run with these examples. And what that means is we're gonna show an overly simple example to make sure that everyone's on the same page. It'll be boring to you if you've already done some work with SSDT. Then we're gonna get into more realistic example. And then I'm going to show you a little bit of automation with some PowerShell, because I can't resist the chance to put some PowerShell into a presentation. So let's go ahead and start by creating a database. I'm going to call it Sandbar, no idea why. And inside of Sandbar, I'm going to create a simple table. So here we've got our, Varchar. So here we've got our simple table that I've just created in the database. And, you know, we want to take this and put it into source control as early into the process as possible and start managing it. So I'm going into Visual Studio here, and I'm going to fire up a new project. And just gonna call this project the same thing, Sandbar. So once I've got my project created, the first thing I wanna do here is go ahead and import the database. So I need to choose a connection, and hopefully that one will work. I'm going to get the database settings and the permissions. All right, perfect. So I'm going to kick that off, let that run for a second. All right, cool, perfect. Right, so I pulled in, and we can look in here. My project's pretty empty, just like my database. But if I go to the DBO schema and then tables, we see that I've got customer.sql. I go ahead and open that. We see that I've got my customer ID, customer name, just like I had in the database. Went ahead and pulled it in, very straightforward and simple. Right, so one of the great things about the projects here is that we can create a post-deployment script. I'm going to go ahead and do that now. So we come down here, and it's user scripts. Can everyone see that on the screen okay? I didn't hear anyone screaming no, so we keep going. All right, so post-deployment script, and in this one, I'm going to say insert. And we can see one of the nice things is that it automatically has IntelliSense working for us already. I didn't have to remember whether I called it customer or customers. It already has this for us inside the project. So I've got my table, insert into I forgot one important thing. I need to make that an identity because I want to show you one thing that's going on. All right. So I'm going to create a customer, Bob. And with this post deployment script, what I'm going to do is I'm going to want to build my project, and then I can publish it back to my database. When I publish it, I haven't made any column changes, so there's no column changes to apply yet. But I do have a post-deployment script in there now, and it's going to go ahead and take care of that. So I'm going to publish. Yeah, I was thinking it would have, didn't think I was going to have to do that. Let me compare this real quick. Practiced this 3 times this morning and didn't make that mistake until just now. Doesn't detect it. You just go ahead and delete it and bring it right back in. I can. Let's go ahead with this. All right, so the build went and deploy started. Created a whole new database. That's what happened. There we go. Okay. Shouldn't be null, but we're gonna just keep on moving. All right. So it went through. Sorry for the delay there. Went ahead and inserted our rows. So if we've got some seed data that we need to include in our project, we're going to be able to do it there in the post-deployment scripts. And that's really the only place that we're going to be able to add it for right now with the current state of data tools. Now, if you haven't been using data tools, you probably don't know they're on a fairly rapid release cycle. They put out probably half a dozen releases, at least in the last 10 months, I guess. So they're constantly adding features. This is one of the things that's on the drawing board for them. So it'll to do data comparisons instead of just doing post-deployment scripts. For now, we've got post-deployment scripts. It'll insert data for us. There we go. Post-deploy. All right, let me go to back over to this table. All right, so a cool thing about SQL Server data tools is that when you come in here to put in a new column, if I type it in up here in the GUI looking portion, we're going to make that a date. So I want to add a new column, customer sense. I want to know how long this particular person has been a customer for. So I've gone ahead and added that up here in the top that looks like the GUI. And at the same time, I went ahead and added it down here in the script section, right? So it's right now it says that it's null, allows nulls. And then if I come in here and say not null, it goes ahead and changes that up here for us. So it does it in both places, keeps them in sync. It's fairly rigid. I've been very happy with this particular implementation. Now let's say I just got tired of the fact that it has customer in front of the name and I just want to change it back to be just name. I can come over here to refactor, say rename, and make the new name just name. Felt like it was a little too redundant. And it's going to give me a preview of what's about to happen. It's going to tell me that, okay, we're going to make the change in customer name of the customer table, but there's also some script references, and it comes from my deployment script, post-deployment script, and it knows that it needs to go and update the name in the post-deployment script from customer name to be name so that we don't have an error when I go to deploy the next time. Make sense, everyone? Yep. All right. And that is it for the crawl section. Go ahead and publish this so I can show you one other thing to build. Oh, yes, thank you. I was trying to cut out a step to save time, and we see where that got me. Thank you, whoever yelled that out. I promise I will not try to save any more time. I'll stick to the script from here on out. All right, so let's change this over to be star. All right, now, if you look, and let me zoom in on that one. See, when I did my select, I ended up with two Bobs coming back. The reason I'm showing you this is that they're not intelligent post-deployment scripts. They're just scripts. They're just going to do what you told it to do. It's not going to go and check for Bob and say, hey, I already saw you in there. And even if you had an ID of one and you change from Bob to Robert, it's not going to go detect that, oh, it needs to do an update instead of an insert. And no, it just goes ahead and inserts again. So it's going to keep on doing that every time that you deploy. So you may need to go ahead and put in either a truncate or delete, or you may need to write some intelligence into your scripts. Is there a question over here?
I was just going to ask what you just said. You can do it if not exist.
Yeah, you could do all that if you want. It's up to you. You could do some truncates if you want. And like I said, more features are coming. So this is what we got to deal with for now. And they are coming pretty rapidly. So that's a real nice thing. They're not stuck on the full life cycle of SQL Server. They're getting out there every couple months. All right, let's go to Slipper. How many of you have SSDT 2010 installed already? Okay, I want to show you one little thing that can happen to you. So I'm in my Visual Studio 2010 projects folder. And in Visual Studio, it's smart enough to combine everything. But earlier I was looking and couldn't figure out where one of my projects was. Thought it was in this folder. And it turned out it was back here in my 2010 folder because I had originally created it there. But in SSDT 2012, I'm still able to see my 2010 projects as if they were there the whole time. So just a quick, word of something that can get you at the end. All right. So, any more questions before I go on? No? All right, cool. So let's go. And go ahead and close out of here. Fire up a new project. So I'm just starting up a new project. I'm calling the project itself Adventure Work. I'm going to go to the 2012 version of AdventureWorks that I have on my local machine. Go ahead and pull that in. An interesting thing about this is, I'll get to it when I get to one of the steps further on. I'm pleasantly surprised with how well that DAC packs are progressing. That's what I'll say. All right. Some funny things about this. So if I go back to 2012 and I just have this that I, this project that I just created, we can see that it's 544 kilobytes, right? It's not very big at all. It's just got the schema of my database there. All right. Let's go to SSMS. If I go to that same database, tasks, extract data to your application. Now, if I do it from here in SSMS, it tells me that this one already exists. I'll go ahead and put this into my temp directory so we can compare. While we're here, so we've got our, it's calling it an application, even though right now it's really just a database. It's allowing us to input a version number. So at this point, okay, it's version one. Later on, we can come back and create another one of these and call it 1.1 or 1.01, stuff like that. So you've got the ability to do that. Next. So it's gonna go create this file for us. I'm going to my temp directory over here. Should be spinning that up right there. And it's finished already. So if we take a look at this, it's 78 kilobytes. And, oh, sorry. The file is only 78 KB. And, you know, it's, again, it's not quite as big as the full project, but it's pretty dang small, right? Now, an interesting thing about these DAC packs is if you rename them to zip, you find out they're just fancy zip files. And inside of here is the metadata of the schema. And then if we had tables, that would be in here too, but we don't right now. So let me go back up here. And I hit Control-Z to undo it. If I double click here, it'll unpack it and create a new folder with that model inside of there for us. Did the wizard go? All right. And it's also got that metadata right there. We can go ahead and open that model. We can take a look in there, and what we're going to find is it's the create statements for all the tables in the database, right? Simple stuff, I know, right? But that's if you start from SSMS 2012, okay? Go to Server Object Explorer inside of here. Go to SQL Server. Databases, SQL Server 2012. Extract data to your app. Let's see. And properties. In this wizard, let me zoom in on that right there. Sorry for the delay with the typing. We can see that we've got a radio button here for extract schema only or extract schema and data. And that, by checking that, we're actually going to be able to pull our data out of our database. Should be, oh, dot time. So it's going to go ahead and go do that for us. It's going to take a little bit of time. So I'm just going to go ahead and pull this up so we can see the directory there. It's going ahead and doing it. How many people have actually used DAC packs before? Anyone? 1, 2, 3, 4 out of this room, right? So that's not very many in with, you know, the what you've been able to do so far with 2012. I'm not surprised by that. I didn't see any like burning reason to go and start using them myself. But with the version that we get with 2012, It's brought some new features into play that I'm really happy about, and I can see that it's probably going to be growing in use, at least for development databases, in the pretty near future. While we're still waiting, is there any more questions? Anyone? I just can't see everyone. All right. So over here, it's processing our tables. Part of what it's doing is kind of like when you go to generate scripts for SQL Server, and you go and you script and you pick, you know, you're in SSMS and you do a task and you go ahead and generate scripts, and then you go in there and you pick on the schema. You can pick schema only or data in schema. Well, I went ahead and scripted out the AdventureWorks 2012 database, going in here, doing scripts, grabbed just the tables, and just grabbed a single file just to keep it all put together, and went ahead and in here, this is the one I'm talking about, the setting, control 4, sorry for the double zooming, taking, instead of doing schema only, doing schema and data. I went ahead and did that earlier today. And let me show you what the results of that were. Right here, and our file's finished now. Perfect timing. It was 533 megabytes to script out that database to down to files. The DAC pack that just finished, this one right here. Zoom in on that. 17 megabytes. So they've done a lot of intelligence there to compress that down. And that's one of the reasons I'm pretty happy with it, is they were able to condense that. If we take a look at the database in the first place, take a look at the size here, we see that it's 205 megabytes. A little bit of that is log file, but not very much at all. So now we've got our DAC file. What can we do with that? For I show you, let me do the rename it to zip thing. Well, actually, we can just unpack it. So it's going to have the model schema in there just like it did before. That's not going to be any different. What's going to be different this time, though, is that we've got a data folder. If we go into, If we go into something like humanresource.employee, instead of seeing a SQL script in here, what we see is a BCP script. And that's why they were able to get so much of the size savings, was that they were able to leverage BCP and be able to shove the data into the databases a lot faster and take up less disk on space, less space on disk while they're doing it. Everyone following along so far? Good. All right. All right. So I'm going to come in here. Actually, I'm going to close out of here. I'm not going to save that. Fire up a new project. And so I've fired up a new project just like I had before. This time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to import from a data tier application. I'll browse to it. Go to my temp file where I've got that one sitting. Grab the from VS 2012, that is the 17 meg file. And this is new. Why is it doing that? And it should open it up. Interesting. Usually pauses for a moment to validate the name, but this is a little longer than it's taken in the past. What I'm just trying to show you here is that it can take a DAC pack and import that entire schema for you. And if you do a compare against your database, you're going to come up with the exact same thing, which means that someone can generate a DAC pack from the system that they're on, send it to you, and you can trust that you've got the full schema like it was when they back. Basically, what they're ended up doing is a schema level backup, really. So they've got the schema. They may or may not have all the data in there, but they've got. Oh, thank you, Visual Studio. I once told someone on the Visual Studio team that they ought to look into the not responding thing, because it actually takes a while to not respond to that. Oh. All right, so. Hopefully this one will run faster. Got to admit, though, that's actually the first time I've run into that one. So it's hopefully not twice. There we go. That's what it was supposed to do. All right, so while it's doing that, I'm going to go back over to that folder. I guess I should have said, I've got a shortcut set up here right to that directory. And what did I call it this time? ADV worked. All right. Oh, all right. So it's finished. If we take a look inside of here, I want to show you that. Take a look at the size. It's 541. So when you import a data to your application right now, even if it's a data to your application that has the data inside of it, when you import it into Visual Studio SSDT, it doesn't pull the data in right now. What you can do is go into Management Studio, do a generate scripts like we're doing here, and then take that script after it's done being generated and add it to your project, either as a single file or as one file per table. That's up to you how you want to deal with that. But that's one way that you can leverage it right now, still get to where you're trying to go, even though you can't do the import of the data just yet. Let's see. Let me go over to my VM real quick, show you some cool stuff here. So I just switched over to a virtual machine. And let's see, database task, deploy data to your application. So I'm gonna browse back to that same DAC pack that I just created. It's going to take a minute to validate the name and the file is the correct type and all that. Oh. So let me go ahead and show you. So I'm on a completely different machine. Oh, and it's so different that I forgot to put zoom it on here. Trying to figure out a way I can. There we go. All right. Just trying to show you, all I've got is my report server and report server tempdb on here. There's nothing else right now. So the next step here is that it's going to ask me for a name. I'm actually going to trim that back from the name of the file to be just AdventureWorks 2012. Click Next here, and it's going to go off and do its work. And in a few seconds, we'll be able to check in on it. What this shows you is that probably the next time we get AdventureWorks, it might actually be inside of a DAC pack, right? Because it's actually going to be able to be handed off. You take it, it's going to be able to give you the schema. And as you'll see in a few seconds, we're also going to get the data inside of here too. So that's going to be a nice change of things. We can get sample databases or baseline databases and have everything packaged up into one spot. So here we go. So we've got AdventureWorks 2012. We can see our tables are coming in. Still in the process of deploying it. And there it goes, importing the data for all those tables. Sorry, what's the question? There was a DAC pack in 2008, I think, but it was completely different. It was 1.0. So install the 2012 tools, and if you set up your project, then you'll be and check your database type to be, say 2008 or 2008 R2, then you'd be able to deploy against a 2008 R2. And in case I forgot to repeat the question, it was, is that available in previous versions of SSMS before 2012? It was there, but it was completely different. So I don't think it'll work. Yep. This will be perfect for helping you sync up worlds between dev and production. So let's do a quick select top 1,000. And looks like it's finished. And here we go. And now we can see that we've got our data there. One interesting thing that I will note about this, it did everything that I wanted as far as it went and got the database. It put the structure in there completely the same. Put the data in there just the same, but when it did it, it was doing it as fully logged. So I ended up with a log file that was much larger than the original where it came from. So that's one difference between a backup and a restore versus the DAC pack, is that you could run into a logging issue like this one here, which as long as you know about it, you can mitigate it, but it is something I wanted to call out that I noticed. So the question is, how do you address that with the log file? You want to set the database settings. In this case, if it was a brand new database, you'd be wanting to maybe set it to simple or bulk log recovery mode so that it doesn't log all the transactions, because that's obviously what it was doing. And maybe put a post-deployment script at the end that goes ahead and sets it back to full recovery mode. That'd be how to deal with it for now. Any more questions? Go ahead. The question was, if you're using mixed mode authentication, does it handle SQL accounts? Yes, it does. To get this is just a laptop, no domain controller on it, and to get this demo to work in between the two machines, I did actually have to use mixed mode authentication, and I was able to do that, as you can see, deploying it here. If I go back to the other machine, I can actually look across and know that I've deployed it. And I'm using mixed mode authentication to be able to do that. Now, one of the most recent cool features that they've added is that drift report that I was telling you about. Let me go ahead and make sure I'm at the right spot. All right, perfect. Just wanted to make sure I was at the same spot I thought it was. All right, so I'm going to show you about that new feature of the drift report. So I'm going to come down here to AdventureWorks. I'm going to call it fire_works. I'm going to go ahead and create that. Take a look here. Oh, I don't have the zoom here. Rats. Refresh over here. All right. So it might be hard to see. Sorry if it is. But we've got the table in there called fireworks. Now let's say I'm someone, we decided we're going to add a feature. It's called, we've decided we're going to track fireworks for whatever reason. So someone went ahead and went to production and created the table ahead of me, right? I ended up giving it a different name. I decided to create the table myself in development. And I didn't use an underscore, and I developed some other things that corresponded with that table. Maybe some sort of procedures, views, maybe parts of the application. But I'm already dependent on that table not having the underscore there. So let me go ahead and do TBO table. All right, and then I'm done. So now I've got this put together. I can go do my build, get that ready. I'm gonna go ahead and do a publish. And when I go in here, better do this as copy and paste. If you are on the Wi-Fi and you go searching for SQL servers, you will find a lot at this conference right now. Just FYI. All right. Oh, right. SQL authentication. Save my password. Right. Now, since I've gone through all the trouble, found my server, got the right database, put a username and a password and saved it, I probably want to go ahead and create a profile of that. And it's a little XML file. If you don't do that, every time that you want to go to publish, you're going to end up having to redo all that information. So. The most trouble that I've had with Visual Studio for the entire month put together. Lovely. Hopefully it'll come back. You can save multiple profiles. So you can save one for your development environment, one for your QA environment. Hopefully the person that has access to your development and QA environment doesn't actually have access to your production environment as well. But if they do, they'll be able to save a separate profile for that. Seems kind of dangerous to me because you could think you're deploying to dev, click the wrong thing, and deploy to prod. So, I'll try this one more time. This all went so much smoother when I practiced it in the speaker room. All right, so what do I have to build for? Publish. Here we go. All All right, so there we go. I went ahead and deployed this table over here. So now I've got two tables named fireworks, one with the underscore, one without. Let's see if I can zoom in on those there. All right, and that's not what I wanted. So I'm going to come in here just for the purposes of this demo. I'm going to get rid of the table for a second as if we're rolling back. I'm going to go ahead and deploy it again or publish it again. I'm going to load that profile, and I'm going to guess the one with the later date is the one I need. And then these checkboxes here. One of them is register as data tier application. I'm going to go ahead and check that one. Also down there is block publish when database has drifted from registered version. So it knows what the schema is supposed to look like. It's got that full definition in a file, and it knows every nook and cranny of the schema. It's going to go and take a look at the database that it's deploying against first. And if every single part of it doesn't match up, whether it's missing a table or it's got a table or a stored procedure or view or index or whatever, it's going to halt right there because it knows that it's not in version control properly. And it's going to allow you to intercede and bring that database back into compliance with version control, or just sync what was added to the database. Maybe it was an index. Maybe someone put an index on over the weekend. Something went wrong. Turns out it's a good index. We're going to keep it. Well, you can then bring that index in, create a new build, and then publish again. Meant to close out a zoom in and accidentally squish that dialogue. Publish. So this time we should actually get an error message back. It shouldn't succeed because it should go in, find that the table isn't there. The table is there that's not supposed to be there, and stop what it's doing. Boom, right there. So we've got create publish preview, create the database script. It was executing it, everything was going great, and then unable to validate database drift, right? If we click on view results over here, sorry, I lost the context of my window. All right. If I had clicked on the right spot, which apparently I wasn't able to, it would have gone back and told me that there was a table there that wasn't supposed to be. I've already done this a couple times today and actually saved off the file into my temp. So just skip and show you what that is. So it would have shown you something like this. So the drift report comes back and says the reason that it's stopping is in addition, the object type was a SQL table, the schema was DBO, and the name of it, earlier I was making up names and that one was Tina, but it would have gotten the right name. It would have said fire underscore works. The great thing about that is, so one, you know ahead of time, someone went and played it around in the database without you knowing about it, or at least without, maybe you did know they were in there, but they didn't check their stuff into source control like maybe they had told you they did. So now you've got this information. I don't know about you, normally it's weeks down the road when I realize someone's been in there and made a change, and I'm just finding out now. What you can do with this is you can actually run a command line to go ahead and find this information out. using SQL package.exe. Has anyone in here used SQL package.exe before? No one? Yeah, I didn't figure so. It's not really straightforward in, it's not as easy as PowerShell, I'll say that. But it is an automated way of being able to do things with your database. With this one up here, this top line. So with this section right here, what that command does is it would go out to the AdventureWorks 2012 database and create a DAC pack of that database. It would include the data in it, and it would go ahead and put it on your hard drive for you. So, okay, creating a DAC pack off of one database, that's not, you know, not gonna really save you a ton of time. What you could do is mix in a little more PowerShell, and like I've done here, I put together some resources I've used from the SQL Server PowerShell module plus one called SQL Server PSX. What this allows me to do is go out to a machine, for example, and grab a list of the databases that are on there. Obviously, your machines are going to have more databases than these. And what I can do with that is I can pick multiple databases and decide that I want to go ahead and capture a DAC pack of that, which I'm going to need to do first so I can use it as a drift report. So let that run. Should take a few moments. And we can see that they start coming in here right at the top. So next. Now in this particular case, actually I guess I switched off the including the data on this one, which is good because it would have taken a lot longer if I hadn't. But with this script, what you'd be able to do is you'd be able to go out and basically register all your databases out there on a particular server that you wanted. You'd be able to collect DAC packs for those. And then once those DAC packs are registered, you'd then be able to, was that a truck? You'd be able to run a drift report using SQL package.exe and run it against those exact same databases and collect all the drift reports together and see if there was anything that had happened that no one had told you about. So, does that sound useful to anyone? A couple people? Yeah. All right, cool. Excellent. Before I go on much further, let me open it back up to you. Questions with what you've seen so far? Anyone? Is anyone excited about any of the features they've seen? I know it's late on a Wednesday. A couple nodding heads, all right. Just go ahead and put this on the screen this way. Saw a couple of people taking pictures, so I figured I'd put that one on the screen. Anyone got questions on stumbling blocks that they've heard of or think that they'll run into when trying to use this? Yep. Go ahead. The question is, seeing how they're putting out so many updates, is now a good time to go ahead and start using this in production? And I'll tell you that their testing method is very rigid. I've actually been very impressed with how things I've been worried about, does it do this, does it do that, does it capture this? I've been very impressed with how thorough the product is. What I would definitely say is do something like capturing the DACs to get your schema definitions out of production, pull them down to your development environment, and go ahead and show, be able to start getting those baselines, because that doesn't cost you anything really. If you do it manually, it costs you a few minutes per database to go collect them. If you write a script, you can go out there and collect all of them from all your databases in just a few minutes. And you can at least dip your toe in the water there. There's another question over here. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. Do you have SQL Management Studio on production? All right, perfect. All right, so the question is, in the development environment, obviously they've got Visual Studio installed. In the production environment, no Visual Studio installed at all. As long as you have SSMS 2012 installed, you're going to be able to use the SQL package.exe. And it's really important to know that it lives in this directory, as I found out. See program files, Microsoft SQL Server 110/DAC/bin. And that's where SQL package.exe is. And that's, I actually have to change directory to that every time I want to run it. Once I'm in there, then I'm able to run SQL package.exe. Get those DACs. In this case, you know, I just pulled down only the schema. I could have switched, there's a true false on there at that bottom line that's cut off that says extract all table data true. I didn't run this one, I ran the other one. So had I run that, I would have gotten a file full of all my tables. In production, you probably don't want to do that. You probably want to run the other version of the script that I had up just a minute ago. But that would be how you are able to capture your production and be able to pull those in, then just FTP those back or whatever. And then you've got working DAC files for each of your databases that you can integrate into your source control and get started from there.
And that's what I would calculate the drift on?
Yes, and that's what you would calculate the drift on. There's some other features that are built into this that are not going to go into them today, but I will call out that it's set up for automated build processes. It's, you know, it sees that, you know, that's, it's, they have definitely thought of that. They've built in integration points with that. So you're definitely going to be able to do that. One of the other things I should have shown you already is if you take a snapshot of the project, it goes ahead and creates the name of your project and a date time for you, and just click enter here. I'm going to go into here, into my project, and oh, it was ADV. Sorry. And I can see I've got a snapshots, and in here is actually a DAC pack that is only the schema. So if you don't actually have version control, you can just pull a snapshot of it. It's going to create a DAC pack for you. You will have to unpack it, but it's there. It's a point in time save of your project. So let's say it's Monday morning and you're going to go add 7 tables and some stored procedures for some new features to the database. You don't have version control. You can take a snapshot of it. It'll save that DAC. If you decide, I messed up. I need to start over, or someone comes up and says, hey, we need to get this other thing into production right away. You can just do a quick schema compare. You can take a snapshot again, do a quick schema compare, revert back to that DAC pack, do your work, save it off, and then do another compare and pull in your work that you had just saved off a few minutes ago. Does that make sense? I tried it, I promise. More questions? Concerns? Any concerns? I don't see anyone jumping up and down going, awesome, I love this. It is late, yes. Should have gotten you guys some coffee or some 5-hour energy. All right. Couple other features in here. I want to show you that while you're doing this, in case you were unaware, when you install SSDT, it's going to give you a local DB, whether you wanted it or not. It's there. That's how it stores its project files and is able to keep all the information about your schema and be able to test its deployments. So that's there. Trying to think of the other high points to cover. There's a code analysis feature. There's an expand wildcards feature, which is really nice. So if you've got someone that created a view called that was select star from table name, you can do expand wildcards, and it will go ahead and punch in all the column names for you. You can then save that back into the project and then deploy it. And then instead of having a view with select star, now you've got it with the actual column names. So that's definitely a handy feature. Check and see if there's... Oh. Deployment history. Another quick thing is when you decide that you've had enough of seeing things that were wrong, you can go back in here and delete all your mistakes as if they never happened. It's a handy feature. So I don't know if I ever finished to make sure that I showed that, so let me go ahead, find that fireworks table. You know, the build did fail just a minute ago, so I'm gonna delete that table real quick. I'm sorry, the publish failed. So I'm gonna go ahead and do that again. Load profile, publish. Take a few seconds here. And there we go, we've got a successful deployment right there. Because it went in, it saw the table wasn't there anymore and said, all right, now it's okay for me to go ahead and deploy now. So, more questions? Yep, go for it. The question is, how does the deployment work when you're just publishing updates? And it works in a what they call desired state. And so it takes a look at it and it says, I know what you're at right now. And it knows whether it finds you with that table there already, no table there, or the table there, but with a wrong column name, and it needs to add a column. It figures that out and does the correct thing. There's a feature in there to halt the process if it detects that it's going to lose data, and will abort the process just like it did there with finding that there's a table there that wasn't supposed to be, and let you take a look at it and decide what you're going to do from there. Yes. So the question is, historically, the Management Studio, when you go in and you add a column, it would go and actually create another table and copy all the data over and drop the old table, rename the new one to the old one's name, and then that's how it would create your database. And no, it doesn't do that. In all cases, it does its best job to go and do an alter table, do an add statement, and to not have to do all those extraneous pieces of work. It tries to be as intelligent as possible and, you know, do adds, do alters, do things like that to keep it from doing those kind of large log operations that was. So it was definitely not ideal. More questions? Yep, go for it. Yes, I was doing that earlier, and that's what I meant when you take a snapshot. You can do the schema compare. So I'll select source, and here I've got project. Can you schema compare against a DAC pack? Sorry, thank you for reminding me. And on one side we've got a database, And over here, we've got a data to your application file. Go up here, grab one of the ones that I did, and hit compare. And so you've got your full life cycle of being able to compare either against a database, against the project itself, and create compare against one of those DAC packs that you had earlier created, especially if you use the snapshot feature since it creates a DAC pack. So you'll be able to compare against that snapshot that you created earlier.
So a snapshot is a DAC pack?
Yes, that's absolutely. That's what I was trying to illustrate here is under, if you go into your snapshots folder, you'll see it's actually a DAC pack file right there, auto-named and everything for you. So like again, it's poor man's version control. If you have TFS, use that instead, or any of the other. Yep, another question? Two DBAs creating different sort procedures, and what was the rest? In the same database, that actually wouldn't be too much of a problem if it's in the database, because if you're comparing against the database, because it's already at a single point. If it's two DBAs in two different threads of the project, obviously you'd need to merge your version control just like you normally would. Yeah. Great question. More? All right, well, I guess we'll call it there. Hope you got something useful out of here, and I hope you're able to take it back and use it in your own environments. Thanks for coming out.